Welcome to 721 Live. I'm Sam Hunter. I am glad that you are with us today. It's Friday. Love Fridays. Can I just get you to push back on all the busyness, all the distractions, whatever might be rolling around or floating around or bouncing around in your mind, and just take a deep breath and listen for God's word to you. I know He wants to speak to my heart as I speak, and I know He wants to speak to your heart if we will just have those ears to hear, as Jesus would say. We are going to talk today about the rich young ruler and his resume. And we'll get to that in just a minute. Let me remind you, the 721 Live is the radio arm of 721 Ministries. You can check us out on our website, www.721ministries.org. That's the numbers, 721ministries.org. Check us out on the website. You find a lot of stuff about us. We've got past radio shows. We've got a Putting Green blog, which is a devotion we write each week, 721ministries.org. And we're on Facebook, 721 Ministries. Okay, we have been working our way through in a summer series on encounters with Jesus. And I love to do this. I love to watch how people approach Jesus or bump into Jesus or Jesus approaches them and see how those conversations tease out and what Jesus does with it and the questions they ask and how He responds. And, of course, He never responds, rarely responds in the way they anticipated Him to. He usually comes back with a question instead of an answer. We look first at Nicodemus. I call it Nick at Night. And along with the theme of what we're going to look at with the rich young ruler this week and next week, you recall that Jesus said after His encounter with the rich young ruler, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, with Nicodemus, it was hard for him because it was hard to give up his religious respectability and all the tradition and all the learning that he had. He had a hard time figuring that out. The Samaritan woman at the well, who we looked at in the second encounter, it was hard for her to give up the hurt that she had felt and the barriers that she had erected because of all that hurt. Five husbands, or sort of a social outcast. Mary and Martha, it was hard for Martha to give up her busyness. She had a reputation for being busy, for getting things done and being the one that's getting all that church work done. And that was hard for her to give up. And each one of these, Jesus brought them to a defining moment. A defining moment where they had the light shone into their lives and they had the choice to step into that light or to step back. And it's interesting when they step in and when they step out. Today we see someone who steps out of the light, does not step in, says no to God, which is a hard thing to imagine. Last week in our show we talked about the A-plus life and what it really means, because we talk about the A-plus life on this show often, and we do it because Jesus talks about it. He calls it the kingdom of God. We call it the A-plus life, the life you can live now in the kingdom. And I want you to go back and go to our website and go to the blog, 721ministries.org, and pull up the Putting Green on the A-plus life. Because if you didn't hear the show, or even if you did, it'd be a great reminder of what we think, what we believe Jesus is saying when He says the A-plus life. Because at the outset of His ministry, He made it clear He was ushering in the kingdom of God here and now. You could live in it here and now. He wanted us to know that. He talked constantly about the kingdom of God, used it in parables, used it in examples, the kingdom of God is like. And to be sure we understood, He meant it for here and now, not when and there, some future time. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record Jesus stating emphatically, the kingdom of God has come. The kingdom of God has come. Your translation may say is near, like my NIV translation, but the Greek word is very clear. It has come. He says, I want you to know, step into it now. Live in it now, not some far-off time. So, with this immediacy and availability of the kingdom as a backdrop for our perspective, let's look at the rich young ruler and his encounter with Jesus. And I'm going to start by reading, we'll be in Mark 10, but I'm going to start by reading a little episode that happens right before the encounter, which I think most people don't tie these two together, but they are absolutely tied together. As a matter of fact, in the first episode, we see the answer to the question that the rich young ruler asked. When he approaches Jesus and says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, Jesus has just given the answer. So let me start with this. Mark chapter 10, verse 13. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have Him touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. And when Jesus saw this, He was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come to Me and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth. And when Jesus says that, the light is coming on. Here it comes. When he says, I'll tell you the truth, stop what you're doing and read and ponder and listen and meditate on what follows, because it's big. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Now, that's the answer to the question we're getting ready to get from the rich young ruler. Whoever will not receive, not earn, not achieve, but receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Well, here comes the rich young ruler. As Jesus started on his way, I'm assuming the very next thing that happens, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? I want you to think about this question and how it shows us how off base the rich young. He's sincere, but he doesn't have any understanding of what any of this is all about. And we'll get to that in just a half a second. I want to start by just asking you or giving you this question. See, before I was lit up by Jesus, before the light came on, the capital L light came on. Yeah, I mean before I was born again. It really irritated me for someone to ask me this question. If you died tonight, Sam, and were standing before Jesus, what reason would you give him for you to enter heaven? Oh, I didn't like that question. It irritated me. It's a very penetrating question. Maybe that's why I didn't like it. And I certainly didn't like what I thought might have been the answer. But let me just stop, and I'd ask you to humor me and think about what your answer would be to that very same question. If you died tonight and were standing before Jesus, what reason would you give him to let you into heaven? And let me just cut to the chase real quickly and give you one simple observation. Simple, yes, but with cosmic ramifications. You ready? If any part of your answer, any part of your response involves even a hint of you reaching for a resume, don't even bother. If any part of you, anywhere inside of you, anywhere in your mind, if I don't say anything else today, I want you to hear this. If there is even a flinch towards your back pocket where you've got your resume, don't even bother. There will be no resumes on Judgment Day. There will be no resumes on Judgment Day. And I'll tell you, just as an aside, as a personal aside, I try to make it my business. I do a lot of men's lunches and a lot of things like that, and I try to make it my business. It is my goal that no one that ever has an encounter with me, that ever comes to a 721 event of any sort, will ever put 721 Ministries on a resume. If they do that, I failed. If anybody I deal with that hears me speak or hears me talk or hears me teach puts 721 Ministries on a resume that they plan to hand to Jesus, then I failed. Because there will be no resumes on Judgment Day. If you reach for it in any way whatsoever, don't even bother. You've missed it. And this rich young ruler had missed it. See, he approaches Jesus sincerely. We read in the scripture that he fell on his knees and he said, good teacher. He's not saying you're a good teacher as in a qualified, competent teacher or an exciting teacher. He's saying you're a good person. That's the word he's using. And so Jesus stops and says, well, wait a minute. Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. This is real important. No one is good. Jesus is saying, do you even know who I am? You call me good, but do you have any concept of what this word you're using, good, means? Because it's real important. Because this rich young ruler is suffering from the most common and deadly of human ailments. He's got a pretty darn good resume. This is maybe the biggest pitfall for every human being, but especially for men. But for all of us, especially living in America, a pretty darn good resume. He's a good person. And I'm sure he is a good person. You probably are a good person. I have no doubt you're a better person than I am. But when he lays his head down on the pillow at night, this rich young ruler, when he lays down and he's drifting off to sleep, he is haunted by the doubt that there's got to be more. He has no assurance. He is seeking Jesus to get reassurance that all he's done is what he needed to do. He has no peace when he lays his head down on at night, he doesn't know for sure. Oh, he knows he's been good, and he knows he's kept the commandments, whether he really has or hadn't, he thinks he has, but there's something just gnawing at him, just nagging, saying, there's more. There's got to be more. And I wonder, and I ask this question with people often, when you lay your head down, are you absolutely sure? Is there any question in your mind that your salvation is secure, that you have eternity, that you are now stepping into eternity, that you are walking in the kingdom of God? Because if you don't know that for 100% sure, no doubt in your mind, I do, because I know I'm supposed to say I do, but somewhere back there I'm not so sure. You can know. And when you do know, when you're saved, there's no... It's not having any ego involved in it. It's the most humbling thing there ever would be. So, the rich young ruler is not sure. Well, he's not sure. And he really doesn't understand this whole concept, because he says, what must I do? What must I do? What must I do? And then listen, to inherit eternal life. Inherit it. See, he has his resume in hand, and he's ready to have Jesus validate his qualifications. He needs that. He's ready to have him validated so that he can inherit upon death sometime in the future, this future life, whenever it is that eternity comes. But see, Jesus says the future is now. The kingdom has come. Eternity is underway. You are living eternally as we speak. Did you ever think about that? You ever ponder that? Most people don't even have a concept of that. They can't even conceive of it. You are living eternally now as we speak. And as C.S. Lewis says, now there are a good many things which might not be worth bothering about if I were only going to live 70 years, but which I had better bother about very seriously if I am going to live forever. I love that. C.S. Lewis has this way of just getting it right down. Now there are a good many things which would not be worth bothering about if I were going to live only 70 years, but which I had better bother about very seriously if I'm going to live forever. And you are living forever, and one of those things to bother about very seriously is how good is good enough. How good is good enough? And let's talk about that in the second half of the show, more straight ahead. Welcome to the second half of 721 Live. I'm Sam Hunter. We are talking about the rich young ruler and his encounter with Jesus this week and next week. And this week, we're looking at his achievements, his accomplishments. Next week, we'll look at his stuff, his money, his valuables, and all those kinds of his treasures, quite frankly. But this week, we're looking at, he approaches Jesus and he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, everybody listening, I feel very sure that everybody listening knows there's no answer. There's no right answer to that question. He doesn't know what he's talking about. You cannot earn your way to heaven. But yet, how many of you think in the back of your mind, yeah, but there is some of that. I mean, I know it's by grace, and I nod my head at church, and I know it's by faith and all that, but don't tell me that some of it doesn't count. Well, I do want to say this. It's important to know that our good works, they do count for something. Of course they do. Just not entry into heaven. That's where they have no value. No value. No resumes on Judgment Day. They count for something. I think of them, let's say, as spiritual style points. Now, that's not a altogether fully satisfactory metaphor, but think of them as spiritual style points. They help, and in the fall, we're going to talk about rewards. So it's important to know that grace is not opposed to effort, as Dallas Willard would say. Grace is not opposed to effort, but it is opposed to earning. It's not opposed to effort, it's opposed to earning. So always give your best effort. Achieve your heart away. This is part of the A-plus life we talk about. But when surrender and grace trump in your life all of your efforts and achievements, now that is the A-plus life. Achieve, give your best effort always. That's part of the A-plus life. But when all that, you're willing to surrender it and let grace trump it all, now that really is the A-plus life. See, the rich young ruler, he approaches Jesus, and he says, I need some validation here. I've been good. I've done everything I'm supposed to do. But inside he knows, just like any of us know that are thinking in that way, if you happen to be thinking in that way, there's something inside going, yeah, but, you know, that really, I can't be all there is to it. So he comes to Jesus. Now I want you to picture this. I want you to picture a successful banker in downtown Greenville or downtown Spartanburg or somewhere in the upstate, a successful banker or a successful lawyer or a successful doctor or any type of successful businessman who maybe is even mayor now. And I'm not talking about our mayor, of course, I'm using this as an example. And he approaches Jesus with the same question. What do you think that person thinks Jesus is going to say to him? A successful businessman approaches Jesus, and he's been an elder in the church. He's done everything there is to do, and he says, "What must I do?" What do you think in the back of his mind? Jesus is going to say. Well, he might think Jesus is going to give him a couple more things to do, and if he does, if Jesus does give him a couple more things, you better believe he'll be all over that. He'll get it. Give me a checklist. I'll do it. But he probably thinks that Jesus is going to pat him on the back and say, "You don't have to do anything else. You've earned it. You've done enough. You qualify. You've accumulated all the God points you need." That's probably what he thinks in the back of his mind. And it's worth asking ourselves, do we in any way think Jesus would say that to us? And you know what, Sam? You don't need to do anything else. You've done a lot. You've accumulated enough points. You're in. I won't even give you an additional list. You're okay. I want to remind you again, there will be no resumes on Judgment Day. And if you even flinch, if you even think about reaching towards one, then you're missing it. Jesus, when this rich young ruler approaches him and says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" He could have just as easily reminded him of what he just said. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Receive a gift, like a child, a dependent child. Well, now that's hard for a can-do kind of man to do. That's really hard for a can-do man. That's hard for us can-do Americans. And quite frankly, that's hard for us can-do church culture people to just say, receive it like a child. But Jesus is saying doing is not the criteria. Receiving is. But we, like this successful young man, we'd be a little confused, and we'd press Jesus for more. We'd say, "But that's not American, Jesus. I mean, we earn our way here. I can't even relate to this idea of just simply receiving a gift and this like a child stuff. What is that?" But see, Jesus knows his heart, and he knows your heart. And his response is the same. Listen to the scripture. Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. See, he looks at us in our confusion, and he loves us. He always loves us. But he says to this young man, like he would say to us, when he says this young man, which we'll talk about next week, "Go sell," what he's really saying is, "Go surrender. Surrender." Because now Jesus lovingly has this young ruler at a crossroads of faith, a spiritual crisis, and a chance for a defining moment in his life. Will he take it? Or will he retreat back into his comfortable and well-earned good person life? But he just could not surrender his great resume. And he could not just abandon all the God points he had accumulated. He's an achiever. You may feel that way. But Jesus is challenging him, and he's challenging you, and he's challenging all of us to redefine ourselves with this defining moment opportunity to redefine ourselves. Not as an achiever, but as a surrenderer. Not as an achiever, but as a surrenderer. Yes, our good works count for something, but obviously they cannot earn salvation. We simply surrender. We simply receive. But gosh, that's hard to do, isn't it? It's really just not that simple, is it? I want to ask you this. Have you ever flown first class in an airplane? It's a great experience, isn't it? It's a lot of fun. Have you ever flown to Europe first class? I've been fortunate enough to do that, to upgrade some miles and fly first class to Europe. It is an 8-hour visit to the spa. It really is a heavenly experience. And these days, I focus on accumulating air miles so that if I ever get that chance again, I can upgrade to that first class. Well, see, it's so natural to think of the good things we do as God points that we're accumulating. Sort of like airline miles. And I can tell you, if someone told me tomorrow that all of my air miles suddenly count for nothing, I'd be incensed. See, we accumulate God points sort of like airline miles, and we intend to cash them in on Judgment Day to upgrade, so to speak. But if someone told me tomorrow everything you accumulated, it has no value, I couldn't tolerate it. Just like this young man, he could not surrender his God points, his great resume, and ignore all his achievements. He just couldn't cast all that aside. He couldn't put all that effort aside as if it meant nothing. And he's saying, all this work has to count for something, doesn't it? Now, maybe this idea offends you, too. Maybe in church you nod your head along with everybody else when everybody's saying, oh, it's by faith in Jesus Christ. We all know that, and by faith alone. We all say that. But inwardly, you're thinking, like this young man, oh, you know, come on now. God has to grade on the curve, at least some. He has to. It's not fair to do it any other way. It's not fair for my good stuff, my being good, not to earn anything. And that's why Jesus says how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Now, allow me to rephrase what I believe Jesus is saying. How hard it is for someone who has been so good or has so much to enter the kingdom. How hard it is for someone who's really got a good resume, really is a pretty good person, or has accumulated a lot of good things to enter the kingdom of heaven. And there's two levels here. One is to enter the kingdom of heaven by way of salvation, the big S, salvation, to actually be saved. It's hard to do that because it's hard to receive it like a child if you've got all this good credibility. So it can block your entrance into the kingdom. But once you're in the kingdom, it can still block your further, you're being able to go deeper into the kingdom. It can block you from living the A-plus life because it blocks your dependence. And that's what we're going to look at next week. So when Jesus says it's hard for the rich to enter the kingdom of God, yes, it is. It's also hard for someone who's rich in good deeds. Because the kingdom is all about surrender. It's all about surrender. And the A-plus life is all about surrender. It's not about earning in order to get. It's about giving up in order to receive. Let me say that again. It's not about earning in order to get. It's about giving up in order to receive. Giving up, yes, but then receiving so very, very much more, immeasurably, abundantly, more than anything we could ever ask or imagine, if we'll just be willing to surrender all of our achievements to the grace of God and then receive that gift. See, I really think this is what Jesus meant when he said, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. Whoever wants to save his life, whoever wants to hang on to that resume, whoever thinks that they are going to save their life by hanging on to all of their God-accumulated points, they're going to lose it. But when you're willing to lose your life, when you're willing to lose that resume, now, you have the chance to find life. So, here's the defining moment for all of us. Save your resume. Hold on to it for dear life. And I'll tell you, your life will not be very dear. Or lose your resume and save your life. And in a defining moment, this young man refused to step into the light. Can you believe that? He actually said no to God. He just could not surrender and receive like a child. Oh, but we would say, well, no one in their right mind would ever do that. Well, it's not an easy thing to do, this surrender and receive. It's not easy for a good man, a can-do kind of man. It's not easy for a can-do kind of American. And it's not easy for a can-do church culture. So I want to ask you, can you do that? Can you surrender all of the stuff you've ever done that's good? Can you say it has no value? The only thing that matters is I will receive like a child. I will surrender all of my resume and all of my style points and all of my good stuff. I'll abandon my God-accumulated points, and I will just say, they don't have any value. The only thing that has any value is you, Jesus Christ. We cannot do anything to inherit eternal life because it's been done. We cannot do anything because it's been done, done by Jesus. I know you know that, but I got to challenge you. Is there any part of you that's going to reach for a resume on Judgment Day? Is there any part of you that is going to reach for a resume on Judgment Day? Because there will be no resumes on Judgment Day. Next week, we'll talk about the rich young ruler and how his possessions got in the way. So long. God's peace to you. I hope to see you next Friday.